Hope everybody's having a good week as we draw closer to celebrating Christmas. I know we sometimes get lost in the hustle and the bustle of Christmas and the commercialism, and we fail to really understand what it's all about. But it's up to us to make sure that others see it through us, that they know that Christmas is not just about getting gifts other than one gift we've already received, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, this morning, you might not understand the message, but everybody knows what this is, right? Huh? What is it? It's an onion. How many here like onions? Is there anybody that doesn't like an onion? Nobody in this room doesn't like onions. You don't like onions. Why don't you like onions? You just don't like onions. Well, that's not a reason. They're good. They're good. Onions are real. Aren't onions good? Huh? Jane, take a bite of my onion. Mrs. Crow, you want a bite of my onion? Wait, now you guys just all told me that you like onions. And you said onions are good. And now this is what color is this? That's a red onion. And red onions are the best, aren't they? I mean, there's good white onions, a good Bermuda onion, but a red onion, I love to saute these onions in just about anything I make. You know, you never can have enough onions. See, my grandson never liked onions. And he finally learned that you either pick them all out or you learn to eat them. So he's learned to eat them because he got tired picking them all out. Joe, you want a bite of my onion? You had enough this morning. Does anybody want a bite of my onion? Why not? Oh, if I peel it, you'll bite it. What's wrong with the outer skin? Huh? Drying, it's stuck in your teeth. That would present a problem, wouldn't it? Been there, done that. Well, we're gonna look at some different scripture, but you're gonna say, how is he gonna bring Jesus out of an onion? Jesus is like an onion. Well, I'm going to tell you, he is. You saw the picture on the front of the bulletin. They did a great job with that. And I said, Jason, you didn't even know I was going to use a red onion. And Karen said, yeah, I picked the red onion because the blood of Christ. And I said, well, that's a good thing. I pick a red onion because it's my favorite. But he put the red onion in there and you know, he didn't find that out in a standard clip art, because I can guarantee you, nobody out there has got Jesus in an onion. You know? And if I cut this onion in half and it's got Jesus in it, man, I'm a millionaire. But think about it. Okay? Now, nobody wanted to take a bite of this onion, yet you all said you like onions. What did you do? Look at 1 Samuel 16:7. First Samuel 16:7. Do you have that up there or not? Okay. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Now, I can just about guarantee that everybody looked at the outward appearance and said, well, it's still got this yucky skin on it, and it's got the little root stuff on it, and that wouldn't be, it's sticking my teeth. And if you peel it, I might take a bite. But you don't normally just pick up an onion and take a bite, not an onion this size. You might take one of those little onions, you know, and eat it like that. But normally you just don't pick up an onion like this and take a bite. You know, but when you looked at the outward appearance of this, it wasn't appealing to you. And that's the way Jesus is to the world. When they look at Jesus and they look at Christianity, it's not appealing to them. But see, in order to get to the heart of this onion, you have to remove some stuff, don't you? You have to make it look a little better. Now, like I said, I like to have onions in just about anything. I mean, I don't know that you could make anything at all that I wouldn't like if you put an onion in it. Okay? Because I like onions. But I don't just eat onions like an apple. Never tried it. It might be good, but I doubt it. You know? It might be hard to eat like that. Because what's the onion like inside? It's got a lot of layers, doesn't it? Got a lot of layers. You know, Jesus, God, has a lot of layers. And so we're going to talk this morning a little bit about that. Now, my message this morning is going to be one of several that I'm going to be doing on this subject. And it's a subject that we don't hear preached a lot today. It's a subject that is often kicked back in the background, even though churches profess to believe it. But it's a subject that is very dear and near to the Alliance Church, and it's called sanctification. Sanctification is quite often misunderstood, and I want you to understand is just like that onion that we have to peel off and get layers of, that's what sanctification's like, okay? A lot of misunderstanding about sanctification, okay? Sanctification typically is, and this morning what we're going to talk about is what it is. In future messages, not next week when I preach, I will have a Christmas message. So if you know, like Christmas, I will be on Christmas. But when you look at sanctification, sanctification is being full of the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit in control of your life. Okay, now, when we're saved, Christ says we get the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit comes as a comforter and as a protector, a guide, you know, those kind of things. But God wants us to start peeling away the layers and go deeper. And so if you would study sanctification as the Alliance Church talks about it, they talk about it a lot as the deeper life. The deeper life. And that's what we're going to focus on. Is a deeper life. What is the deeper life? You know, how do you have a deeper life? Dive into a big, deeper ocean, right? No, a deeper life is like taking Jesus and you see him and you start peeling back layers till you get really to the heart of God. We studied this morning in Sunday school. We were in Acts and we were looking at Colossians where it says, the fullness of God was in Christ. And then in Corinthians, what? The fullness of Christ is within us. So guess what? We can have the fullness of God within us. But it's something that we have to ask for and desire. Okay? And this is the one thing that people misunderstand. Often sanctification, some people say it's a second work of grace. I don't believe that it's just a second work of grace and it ends there. I believe that it's a different work than can happen at salvation because you get the Spirit, but then what you got to do is you got to ask for more. Okay, you got to ask for, you know, have you ever went and had a meal and they dished out the meal and you said, "That ain't very much." You wanted to ask for more, you know? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's all about, okay? And that's what sanctification's all about, okay? You got to ask to receive it. In Acts, it's the disciples often said to the other people, have you received the Holy Spirit? Okay, if you notice when the disciples were in Acts and they Christ told them, he says, gather together and you're going to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a filling. It's the Holy Spirit. And you're moving off the throne, and the Holy Spirit's moving on the throne, and you're getting that control of your life is moving away from you to God. Now, that doesn't happen all at once, does it? You know, when we get saved, there's a lot of things in our life that we're not in control of yet. Okay, right? Even though the Holy Spirit becomes part of our life, even though Christ says, I give you the Holy Spirit as your guide, your comforter, your leader, your director, your help, you aren't totally in the Holy Spirit's control because you haven't yielded that control. And so I want you to understand is the way I view and interpret what the Scripture says about sanctification is, sanctification is not an event. It's a lifestyle. And it can take years and years and years of you changing and peeling back the layers of the onion. You get off the first layers. Okay, when you accept Christ, that's when you peel off the first layers, right? Because now Christ looks good to you. Remember what I said. Christ doesn't look good to the world, okay? You don't want to bite into this onion because it doesn't look good to you. Now, if I'd have peeled it off and had a couple of slices of it, you might have said, yeah, I'll take a bite. Because it then looked appealing. But what happens is this onion as it is right now does not appeal to you because it's not in a state that you look at as saying, I want it. Christ doesn't appeal to the world. Now, after we accept Christ is when we peel off all this outer stuff, okay, and now we see Christ for what he is, good. But we still haven't been full of Christ. We haven't got to the heart of God yet. And you know, have you ever peeled off an onion and you get to a layer that looks good and then you kind of bit into that layer and it was kind of stringy yet still and you took that layer off and said, ah, I don't like that layer either and I'm going to go a little deeper, right? You know, and when you get into the meat of that onion is when you get the sweetness and the fullness. And Christ is like that in that he, when we accept Christ, we get the taste of him. He sends the Holy Spirit, but then he says, hey, I got something more here. And it's the deeper thing. And so this morning what we're going to talk about is a deeper life, sanctification as the Christian Missionary Alliance looks at it, is a lifestyle change. We're going to look at a lifestyle change. And so we're going to look at kind of what it requires on our part right now. And then we'll, in future messages, and Glenn might have given me a new title, and I'll just have to figure out how to work it this morning. There's no meat in the butterfly. You know? Think about that one, huh? And I have to give credit to Jason for Jesus is like an onion because in one of my Sunday school classes, he made that statement. I said, man, that sounds like a title for something. And I said, you know what? It is a title for something. We need a deeper life. If you want to look with me at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Some of you probably know this by heart, but it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I urge you, brethren, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. The first part of learning what sanctification is all about is surrender. Surrender. The Word of God says we must surrender what? We must surrender our bodies to be a living and holy sacrifice. Now, when you look at that aspect of surrender, we're presenting that. And so we have to get to the place where we decide to belong totally to God. We want to be totally God's. Okay? It's not an easy decision, is it? It's not an easy act. It's not easy for us to say, hey, I give up everything that I like and I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. That's against human nature. That's why they don't like looking at Christ, Because the first thing everybody thinks about when you talk about Christianity is, well, I got to change and give up everything I like. That isn't what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says you yield yourself, and part of sanctification is surrender to God. I give myself totally to God. The idea of surrender is a struggle for control. Think about it. The idea of surrender is a struggle for control. If you surrender something, you're giving up control. We were talking this morning in Acts about Stephen and how he was chosen to be a deacon because the disciples said, we don't have time to wait tables. We have preaching to do. So we'll pick some people to do that. And Stephen, a man full of faith, full of God, came in, and the disciples said, this is your task. And he took it to task, and he did it. Whatever God wants us to do, if we surrender totally to God, we have control of the situation, and we do it in the way God leads us to do it, right? Not in the way we want to do it. Now, not that I would ever say anything to do something against that, right? I'm only human. I don't like it that way, right? Have you ever said that? I don't like that. Huh? I don't like it that way. I don't like this nativity scene. Because that's not really the way it was. I don't see any animals. Dave, why'd you put this up here? I don't like it like that. See, sanctification, the deeper life, is a total surrender of you to God. So when you say, God, I don't like it that way. God, I don't really want to do it that way. And God says, we'll do it anyhow. I have to apologize to Kay. Yeah, you're going to get used this morning, sorry. I have to apologize to Kay because I called her last week to see when her surgery was. My wife had told me it was really early, and I knew that. And I came across to Kay like I didn't really want to come up. Probably she thought because it was early. I'm an early bird, man. You know, I'm up at 5 o'clock every day no matter what. I'm early. And that wasn't the reason that I kind of hesitated. The reason was, there's no way I'm getting my wife up at that time. Okay? Getting my wife up at 4:30 to go up to a hospital would be like, Now, she would do it, but she'd wake up about 9 o'clock. So understand that. She'd go with me, but she wouldn't be awake. Okay? Now, and you're saying, well, what's that matter? I'm not a touchy-feely guy. You guys know that. I'm a pretty blunt, pretty direct. Yeah, I'm not really a touchy-feely guy. But God's saying to me at times, yeah, I know that you don't have a lot of compassion and you don't have a lot of mercy, and I gave you a wife that does. So when we go visit someone, I'm quite happy doing the praying and reading scripture and stuff like that, and she does the talking, okay? She talks about the little things of life and stuff like that. I'm not a touchy-feely guy. So my first thought wasn't that I didn't want to get up early to come up, Kay. My first thought was my wife's not going to come with me and I'm going to have to talk to you. I'm just being honest here, okay? This is what I'm telling you is sanctification. I've been serving God for a long time and God keeps working on me to make me better, okay? So I said, well, I said to Kay, I may see you tomorrow. I left it like that, and I knew she thought, he's not coming up. 4:30, God woke me up. I ain't set my alarm, because Dennis said, Judy's not going to get up with me. Do I really want to do this? Blah, blah, blah. So 4:30, God wakes me up, and I said, all right, God, I guess you want me to go up to the hospital by myself. I'll do it. And I went up, and I think I was there before you got there. And Jens came in, and I think you were surprised. You were surprised. And so we prayed that before she got into the whole mess of getting into the room and stuff like that. And they have a new system up at the Butler Hospital, okay? And I found out that God put me there as much for Pete as he did for Kay. Because I sat with Pete, because they got a little thing now that beeps and tells you that it's okay to go back to the room, your wife's ready, and stuff like that. Pete couldn't hear the beep. And I'm sitting there, and I hear beeps going on all over the room. And I said to Pete, I said, you hear that beep? Nope. You hear that beep? Nope. So I stayed with Pete until he beeped. And God blessed me tremendously because I got to know Pete in a deeper relationship than I knew him. And I found that we have some similar likes. And I wasn't feeling good last Wednesday when my wife went up, and I wish I was feeling good so I could have went up alone, because I heard he has a lot of mounts of bears and bobcats and things like that, you know. And I love to look at those kind of things, you know. But I got to know Pete. See, God knows what we need, even though we don't care about it. We don't want to know. And we say, yeah, but God, that's not what I want to do. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make me go visit everybody, okay? Don't believe that in a minute, because he's not totally changed my outlook of life. But see, what he does is he gives us the guidance that we need for that situation in that time, doesn't he? Huh? He gives us the guidance we need for that situation. But we have to surrender. I could have still said when God's alarm went off at 4:30 and I was wide awake, I could have said, God, it's 4:30 in the morning. I need my sleep and my rest. I'm getting old, you know? I need my beauty rest. But no, I had to surrender what I wanted and say, all right, God, I don't know exactly why you're making me do this, but I'll do it. And I didn't do it grudgingly. I went up and I, you know, and God blessed me probably more than he blessed Kay and Pete over it. Okay? Now, I'm still going to call her Kay, even though I learned her name's Darlene, because when she called me on my phone, it come up Darlene, and I said, who's Darlene? And that's her name. In case anybody didn't know, her name is Darlene. She only goes by Kay with her family and her church family. And even Pete calls her Darlene. So, you know, I learned that too. I didn't really know that. See what happens when God, when you listen to God, you learn something. You know, even when you think you know it all. Oh. So the first thing that a deeper life looks at, one of the things that you have to realize is it's total surrender. Okay? If you want sanctification, if you want a deeper life, if you want to be led by God, you got to totally surrender. Okay? You got to say, God, I step back and give it to you. Okay? Now, that's not an easy thing, and that's why I say it doesn't happen just so, boom, and it's there. Okay? The second thing you got to look at is found in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And it's found in verse 16 through 18. 16 through 18. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether on thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Okay? Who's that talking about? Anybody know? Huh? Who's that talking about? Jesus! Don't be ashamed to shout it out, huh? I'm deaf in one ear. Jesus! My onion! Where's the good part? In the middle. We have to have a Christ-centered life. We have to have a Christ-centered life. Now, when we look at that, The problems that we face today in Christianity, in churches, in the United States as religion, is that we don't live Christ-centered lives as Christians. Okay? There's a lack of relevance in the United States to Christianity. We haven't. Why? We haven't shown them that it's something good. If Christ is the center of our life and we're living a Christ-centered life, is it not good? Right? I didn't say all things are good. I said it is good. And so when Christ isn't the center of our life, what happens is everybody sees Christians living like the world, living like they're living. And so why do I need Christ? There's nothing different. When we're living Christ-centered lives, our focus changes. There is something that we have to understand is that we are to change. Now, doesn't mean God asks us to not do anything in the world. We have to be still Christ-centered. You know, if you go out with somebody that's not a Christian, I used to do this when I traveled with non-Christians at work all the time. The first thing we did was we stopped and we prayed before we ate. Okay? And I had a lot of guys travel with me. And what people learned was, if you're traveling with Dennis, and it comes time to eat, he'll feed you well, but you're going to pray first. Okay? I remember one day traveling with a guy, and we were out with some other people, and we got caught up in the conversation. Now, this guy wasn't a Christian, okay? This guy didn't proclaim to be a Christian or anything. He got witnessed to a lot. But we're getting ready. They brought the appetizers, and everybody's getting ready to dive in, and we're talking about business and stuff like that. And Rich says to everybody else, he says, can we stop and pray first? Because Dennis likes to pray before we eat. He's not a Christian. Okay? But what he learned is, my life is a little different. I wasn't any better than him. I just prayed before we ate. You know? But he learned that about me. Now, what if I would have been ashamed about that? And I can remember so many times in restaurants and stuff where we'd stop and we'd pray, or girls would pray or something like that. You know, when they were little, they'd pray for the meal in a restaurant. And somebody would come up and say, that is so nice that you prayed before you ate. How many of us forget? How many of us will pray at home every day before we eat, but when we get out among public, we say, people will look at me funny or something. Isn't that, see, a Christ-centered life says, I don't change, okay? What I would do on Sunday in church is what I do on Monday at work. And what I do at Tuesday at bowling. And what I do at Wednesday, a Christ-centered life says I am living a life that is the same, focused on Christ all the time. Okay? Part of sanctification, as you start getting filled with the Holy Spirit, when you say, God, I'm giving you control. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. When that starts, you start focusing on what Christ means to you. And you're not embarrassed when I'm out among other people that I serve a risen Savior. Okay? People at work, how many of you work in a place that's not a Christian atmosphere? Language is pretty atrocious at times, isn't it? You know, you have to be politically correct. You have to be politically correct where you cannot talk about Christ. But boy, you can sure use Satan's language all the time, huh? Right? The world accepts that. But think about it. Have you ever said to somebody that you work with very closely, you know, that language really does offend me, and I'd appreciate it if you we just tone it down a little bit? I used to have a jar set on my desk. It was called the swear jar. When I worked out with the press room a lot. Press room guys are pretty rough. Some guys would walk in and they'd take the dollar out and put it in and say, Dennis, I'm not going to be able to control myself around you today. Living a Christ-centered life. Now, it doesn't mean I don't fall short, okay? I'm telling you, I fall short. Kay was sitting there saying, he ain't coming. He doesn't want to be bothered with me. Too early in the morning for him. I'm not important. Isn't that the message we give? Huh? Is that the message we're intending to give? Not really. I heard it in your voice, Kay. I heard it in your voice. And that's not what woke me up. God woke me up. But like I said, God led me there to be with Pete. And Pete and I had, it was about probably an hour and 15 minutes. As a matter of fact, I actually got up the one time and I took his beeper and I went up and I said, is this thing working? Because people that come in after us, they were beeping. And they were going back in the room. Pete's still sitting there. And I'm like, you know, okay, I know that once they're ready, it isn't quite often a very long time. And I didn't want Pete not to get his time before Kay went in. And so I went up and I said, is this thing working? And she looked at it. She said, looks like it is. I said, well, is there any way you can check it? Because I said, she'd been back here like an hour and 15 minutes. And I said, I want to make sure that he gets back there. And so she sent a signal through and it beeped and went off while I was holding it. And I said, okay, it works. And probably about 10 minutes later, it went off for real. Okay. But see, like I said, God didn't actually wake me up just to send me there for Kay. I was there for Pete also. Okay. If it would have been me, tough luck, folks. No. You know, God's teaching me some compassion and mercy. It's spotty yet, but he's still working on me. Third thing I want you to understand is that sanctification is enduring. Look at Ephesians 4:14. This will be the last scripture. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceit and scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Okay? We are to grow up into him. We got to get to the heart of God. Okay? And when the heart of God becomes our heart and our desire, things change. You wondered how I was going to make Jesus be like an onion, didn't you? It's an enduring. Shell of Christianity is filled with fads, quick fixes, emotion, flashes of brilliance, roller coaster rides. Have you ever been a roller coaster Christian? Huh? I didn't ride a roller coaster until I was an adult, and my wife made me go on it. And the first one we ever rode on was a double loop out in Geauga Lake. Okay? Believe me, if she wasn't my wife, she probably wouldn't have been. And she's saying, man, is that all it took? I did not like that. Okay? I cannot ride. I enjoy roller coasters now, and I can't ride them any longer. Because, do you know, roller coasters give you a rush of adrenaline so much. Anything like that. But there's a rush of adrenaline so much that they said with my AFib, my heart could stop. Okay? What a way to go out. But I quit riding them because I know that it can have an impact, negative impact on my life. We live spiritually and emotionally with a bunch of highs and lows. Okay? The deeper life is an enduring life. We need to start leveling out. And we need to start not having the super highs, emotional, spiritual highs, and the lows and the depths. We have to start letting God work in our lives on a continuous basis. And as we talk about this in the future, the deeper life, how do we get there? You know, what is it all about? Is it for all of us? Yes. I'll answer that question right now. God said in Colossians, I put the complete fullness of God in Christ, and that can be transferred to you. But it's something you have to ask for. It's not just going to happen. It's not an osmosis thing. Okay? It's not automatic. Not every Christian. You know, you wonder when you look at Christians and you say, man, they've been a babe in Christ for a long, long time. Because there's no meat on a butterfly. They've been a babe a long time. Why? Because they haven't got to the heart of God. They haven't dug, they haven't peeled those layers off of that onion. They peeled off the onion till it looked good and said, that's good enough for me. But man, what's the best part of that onion? When it's in here. Right? I can peel this off and I can sit here and you can look at it all day, but it ain't going to do nothing for you. Except maybe when you go home and say, hey, I want onions in my meal. You got to get to the heart. You got to get to the center. You got to peel off the layers. And Christianity, sanctification, the deeper life of Christianity is peeling back the layers to where the heart of God becomes your heart. That's what it's all about. That's what it's there for, the deeper life. Now, one of the things, so you know, is some of us, all of us, most of us, may be uncomfortable with this message. Maybe uncomfortable with future messages, because one of the things that we have to do if we want to live this type of life is totally set us aside, which means we have to set our pettiness aside. We have to set our not getting along with one another aside. We have to set our prejudices aside. All those things have to be set aside in order for God to take the throne. Okay? Understand that. And it's a decision we have to make. Okay? God doesn't jump in and push you out. He says, I want you to want me in there. And that's why we see so much struggle today with Christianity and how the world views it. Because they don't see most Christians living the deeper life. We have to be called by God. We have to say, yes, God. We've been called. If you've accepted Christ, you've been called. If you want God to fill you completely, you have to ask Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, a simple thing like an onion, how you can put your word into that. Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus on what's it take for each one of us to draw closer to you, to have your heart within us so that it becomes our heart, that we set aside all that we want and say, I want all of you, God. Lord, it's not easy for any of us. It's just as hard for the person that's been serving you for 50 years as the person that's been serving you for 50 hours. It's every day we have to make a conscious effort to say, more of you, God, and less of me. Have your way this week in our hearts and our lives. Go with us. Bless each one, Lord. We pray that you would just touch each one and help us to go out and share the message of Christmas that a Savior has come to us and is born. And His name is Christ. Lord, help us to share that message with those that we come in contact with. Have Your will bless, keep everyone safe. Bring us back together again to worship You in the fullness of Your Spirit. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.